It's 2021, which means it's time for the 2020 Awesome Awards Edition Part 1. This is the Awesome Cast. Hello and welcome to this wonderful, absolutely amazing new year where nothing's going wrong ever. That's a lie, and we're okay with that. We're not okay with that. This is the Awesome Cast, your podcast for everything awesome. I'm Basil.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Douglas.
I'm Dylan.
I'm Charlie.
John.
No one gives a fuck. All right, let's go.
Or he's Rochambeau, which I think would just be beautiful.
I am the great Rochambeau. Please direct all hate mail to @Rochambeau on Twitter.
And that's us, because we thought, to kick off this year, let's have a podcast with all six of us. That was an excellent idea. Just to warn everyone, I'm pretty positive this episode is definitely going to have some late night at a con vibes.
Oh, no.
Probably. That's... And that's euphemism for one. John is on this podcast, too. He will absolutely ignore polite society and just drop several F-bombs at any point in time. Fuck, fuck, fuckity fuck.
And Kevin is goat hand drunk.
Sadly, I haven't touched a drop of alcohol since somewhere around the beginning of last year.
Oh. Well, then this is nothing like a convention, and I'm
goat hand
super
for sober.
It.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, we barely remember what a convention is at this point. It's been a while.
So, you may ask yourself, what am I listening to? And that's an excellent question. This won't answer that. The purpose of this episode is that we have started our 2020 Awesome Awards Edition, because that's how you say edition in Dream Club.
And if you don't know Dream Club, you have no right to speak of Japanese culture.
So we're going to start off with, this will be three episodes, probably. First, we're going to do an episode on podcasts and YouTube shows, which is what you're listening to now. Hello and welcome. We'll also be doing one for anime and television and another one for the games. So what we are going to do is we're going to go in order as people posted about things. Somehow Dylan got to be last, but... that's what we're going to go with. Or did I miss you, Dylan, and you added it in?
I think that's what happened, and okay. I'm okay with that.
Cool. Well, you're gonna bring us home. And so we'll be talking about these things, and you're going to be listening to them, and that's how a podcast works.
It sounds like a hostage situation. We're going to be talking about these things, and you're going to listen to them.
Or else.
We're white, Dylan. It's not a hostage situation. It's a demonstration. It's a demonstration.
There was definitely a threat in Basil's sentence.
Yeah. Anyway, you're stuck here with us.
That's right. Or the extended Awesome Cast Cinematic Universe, where I want to catch up with shows that we might have been on in other places that you can also listen to. Mostly... the Taikyu podcast, which talks about all sorts of things, hopefully mostly sports, because that's when I get to talk about things. So I recently did one for the... oh, my brain's blanking on its whole name, but it's about basketball boys, and they're all punks, and it's great. Ahiro no Sora, that's it. And then actually later on this week, I'll be recording one with them about the Climbing Girls anime I talked about previously in A Moment of Awesome. I would also like to point out that I'll also eventually be on an All Geeks Considered about Star Trek Discovery Season 3, which that's very exciting. And I would like to point out, well, that's just me. There are six of us. We can all talk on your podcast for you. We're here. Yeah. We're just waiting to get called. Put us in, coach.
We say words good.
Yeah, some of us actually have more than a decade experience putting out content, but no one knows that because not a goddamn soul ever listened to it.
We are entertaining crackers.
That's just like actual crackers.
Twitless Kevin is here for all your giant robot and lesbian talking needs.
That's right. He is. And you should be there for it.
How is it that Kevin and I don't just have our own little side project where we're just talking about giant robots and lesbians?
I don't know. That's you need to get on that.
I mean, if you record it, we'll edit it. So I mean, y'all get talking.
Oh no, that's
a dangerous promise, Basil.
That's a blank check.
I mean,
the question is, do I just try and get an interview with Veronica Taylor, the best known as the original voice of Ash Ketchum, and dare do I talk to her about Sins of the Sisters?
Oh God!
Yes and yes.
That, I think, should be the only thing you talk to her about.
Right. I have a weird fear that that would turn out to be not as interesting of a story as we want it to be.
Probably not. And I think the podcast we'd want it to be would require, you know, kind of like a little bit of a...
alcohol?
Not just self-awareness, but like a little bit of... just the tiniest bit of, you know, self-deprecation. You know, where you're able to joke about shit like that.
The end, we go, it's okay, it's okay. You know, even if you were in that, you were also a voice of Valkyrie Profile, and that was awesome.
So with that, let's get started on a wonderful roundtable of the podcast / YouTube shows that really got us through 2020 that we enjoyed.
Yeah, I feel that this list is more has more to do with what got us through 2020 than anything else, which is why we're talking about other, like, YouTube people.
Oh yeah, that's explicitly where my items come from.
Yeah, absolutely.
List.
It's not what came out in 2020. It's how did we survive 2020?
Yeah.
I would also posit that at this point, podcasts / YouTube shows are as a part of our media consumption culture as anything else.
When we were talking about this in Discord, like planning this episode, it almost makes me want to do just an episode about random podcasts, because you guys, you know, mentioned a bunch of stuff. There's a lot to talk about there, but I'm not sure if that's just a podcast about podcasts is too navel-gazy.
Yeah, I actually don't really listen to podcasts, which is hilarious in context, but I do watch a lot of YouTube, though.
I mean, way, way back when we actually, I'm pretty sure we did, back in the early days, we actually had a roundtable about the whole streaming thing. And I'm sure the world is way different now than it was then.
Do you remember when we had the roundtable about anime streaming? Like, that came to fruition and is now over. Like,
yeah, yeah. We've been around.
Came
for...
and went.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, the thing that we said was going to happen happened, and now it's done and we're in a post-collapse of what we said was going to happen.
Yes.
So, I'm going to go in order that primarily people posted into on our eternal place of things to post about. So, that means Doug is first. So,
okay.
Give us your first one on your list.
Okay, so the first one, I accidentally wrote it down as amazingly sarcastic. Actually talking about overly sarcastic productions. Yeah, it's overly sarcastic productions. More or less, it's a team. It's a duo of people. I think they have named themselves Red and Blue, respectively. I don't know which one is which. The girl person is tremendous and amazing, and she's basically everything that I've always wanted to be. She draws these cute little like quick drawings and then tells stories about mythology from all over the world. And if you really want to get like a modern take on Greek mythology or Norse mythology or Far Eastern mythology or just mythology in general, she is super interesting as she talks about it and as she explains it. She also reads classical literature for you and then summarizes. It's essentially like the Cliff Notes version, only better. She has been doing a long series on the Journey West, which I actually read the Journey West a long time ago, but I didn't realize how many other people aren't aware of it. And so it's been really fun to sit there and watch her show with my husband as he suddenly starts to get all of this. And she has a much more founded in reality take on a lot of the mythologies than even I had. Her co-partner tends to talk more about literal history and video games. And so that's pretty much what they cover. They cover English and history, and it's amazing. They're the best at it. You should watch them and buy their stuff.
I am now subscribed to it.
As we're talking about it.
I'm going to check this out. I looked for Amazingly Sarcastic Productions because that's what you put in there, and I think there is something called that. And I'm like, I don't see the appeal of this, but if Doug wants to talk about it, cool.
No, Overly Sarcastic Productions is amazing. Okay.
So, Kevin, speaking of things that you watch on YouTube, what's your first one?
My first one, I'm going to go with his channel is called H Bomber Guy. His real name's Harris Brewer, I believe. But he is a strange British person who alternates between talking about political stuff and video game stuff. It really does seem like he just about alternates video to video. Also, his videos tend to either be really short or really, really long. Weird. This is a guy who got me to play the game Pathologic before our pandemic started, revealing that we are the fourth secret character of that game. Because it's a game about surviving a plague. And he has a lovely two-hour video about the game, about why it's horrible and why it's amazing. But he'll also talk about... I was thinking about going to recommend Get Used to Him. Check out his Flat Earth, a Measured Response video, where he gave himself a Christmas present to debunk all the Flat Earth conspiracy theories. Because it's easy to do.
They sometimes do it themselves, accidentally.
Yeah, but I do enjoy some of his long why things are genius and here's why. He did one for Pathologic, one for Fallout New Vegas. Like, a lot of his video game videos have actually gotten me to go play video games I might not have tried otherwise. He is a quirkily humorous guy who kind of mixes up informative and just wildly out there humor that resonates with me, at least. And I've rewatched a lot of his videos while I'm doing other things during this whole pandemic nonsense.
So, John, what's yours?
Okay, mine requires just a little bit of setup. Late 2019, my dear friend and streaming partner over at These Are Video Games on Twitch, Mike, was kind enough to upgrade my computer so that, you know, I would be able to play Overwatch with him on PC because he was tired of playing with, you know, just randos and want someone to play with. And he's like, I know you play Overwatch, and I know you have the PC version, why are you never on it? I'm like, well, my PC is garbage. And so he upgraded it for me. But one of the things he did when he was upgrading my computer is he installed League of Legends and said, this is the payment for, you know, for me upgrading this. You're going to have to play this game. Because he knew, you know, I would not give two shits about League of Legends otherwise. And it was a challenge because I'm not a fan of real-time strategy games or MOBAs. And, you know, starting out was very, very challenging. League of Legends can be a difficult game for a number of reasons, including other people most often. So I was complete and utter garbage at the game, not knowing really how to play or the conventions within the genre or any of that. But those who know me know I am a terribly competitive human being, especially when it comes to video games. Being that garbage at a game was not something, even if it was one I didn't give a shit about, was not something I could abide. And one of the things, aside from just endless slamming my face into the wall over and over again, one of the things that helped me get to a better place within that game and that genre was the Skillcapped YouTube channel. And Skillcapped is geared primarily for lower level to beginner players, and it shows them different things from video to video, like, you know, common mistakes, or, you know, which characters are good for this patch, and, you know, a lot of random bullshit like that. But Skillcapped is particularly good about walking you through the whys and the hows and making it understandable so that by the time you're finished watching it, even if it's not necessarily like, you know, the character you play or anything like that, you still learn something. You can apply it. So it's been very informative for me. And as I've tried to learn this game over the last year, it's been very, very helpful for me.
So do you actually enjoy League now?
Fuck no. You know, that's still no one, like you,
no
you
one enjoys League.
Yeah, you don't enjoy League of Legends. You just don't.
You like, sometimes only, win,
yeah,
but you don't
the,
enjoy
it. The closest thing that that game comes to delivering enjoyment is, in fact, winning. And that doesn't... God. I had, you know, people on my team in the game earlier today that were just having a dance party.
What?
So yeah, that game is hell. It's not enjoyable. I wouldn't recommend it. But here I am, still playing it. Because
it is incomprehensible when you first get into it. Like, I haven't watched these videos, and like I've gotten better, but it's mostly instinct and muscle memory, but I could not explain to you exactly what I did. I think that explains how complicated it is.
Like, it's one part, you know, character matchups, like in a fighting game, and one part optimization, like a, you know, an MMO or, you know, other RPG, and one part economics.
But like you can watch John play this game on his Twitch channel, which is...
Twitch.tv/thesearevg. We twitch. Jesus Christ. We stream Overwatch on Wednesday, League of Legends on Friday, and occasionally, sporadically, we'll, you know, stream other shit as well. So that's, you know, when you just have to hit subscribe. You know, hit the follow. If you've got Amazon Prime, you can subscribe to us for free. And you know, if enough of you subscribe, maybe in 100 years, I'll get that $100 from Twitch, and that'd be cool. So, you know, if you got Amazon Prime, not doing anything with that, you know, free Twitch subscription, go ahead and just shoot that on over old John's way, and you know, you won't get anything for it, but I will.
Speaking of not getting things, my thing is the dungeon run, which is something that, if you know me personally, I don't shut up about. In fact, I'm pretty sure during our SeishunCon episode, right before everything went to hell, and we had one good anime con in our lives, I'm pretty sure that was my moment of awesome when we were talking about whatever we were talking about in that episode. And it is one of those live D&D play things, and so they do it live. They also host YouTube playthroughs. They also release it as a podcast. And it is probably the favorite thing I media-wise enjoyed in 2020, period. I absolutely adore this show. And the things they had to do to meet the needs of 2020 are kind of insane. The big thing that they had was that this was actually a production by Caffeine.tv, and their bid to be a new major streaming presence was they spent money on like actual productions. And so the Dungeon Run was a legit production. They got Jeff Cannata, who has done lots of things throughout the years, has many podcasts like We Have Concerns and DLC. He's the Dungeon Master. He's been doing D&D for as long as we around here have known what D&D is, and we are also fellow olds, so he's been doing it for a minute. They got a good, lively cast of, you know, up-and-coming actors and actresses that are very good at what they do. They had, like, an actual production set. They had an animatronic Mind Flayer, who was, like, the guy who introduced the show to everybody, and is also a character that exists in the world of their game, known as Ein, as the campaign. And it was just a really, really well done thing. Of course, 2020 happened. and they could not be in the studio together because some of them are immunocompromised and COVID's a thing. So they moved to doing stuff online via Zoom or what have you. And it was a little rough going at first because they were used to having these like super elaborate maps where they actually built like gigantic sets and things. Like one of the earliest adventures is they have to climb up this tower and literally save a giant. And so they actually built the giant and the actual tower where they could put the minis on and whatnot to climb up. Well, you can't do that online. And so their production team actually used like a weird hodgepodge of multiple programs and essentially created a map room that they actually moved virtual minis while in VR to create these elaborate sets, but in a digital fashion. And it was, while I listened to it as a podcast form, just watching it happen, I would go back and watch playthroughs, and it was just nuts, the things they were going, the depths they were going to make sure that this show was still the awesome high-end, them playing D&D experience that you could have. And boy, it's a real shame. We found out yesterday, we're recording this on a Tuesday, that Caffeine is no longer going to have the dungeon run. They've decided to drop the show. And I'm like, Caffeine, I have words. And words that I don't usually say in public, but John sure does.
But John goddamn says right, them a motherfuckers. Lot.
Now, I think the show is going to still going on because they're still very much in the thick of it. That adventure has a lot of legs to walk on. But we don't know how they're going to transition things. And for example, we don't know what's going to happen to this map room, because it's being helmed by four folks using a weird amalgamation of programs to make it happen. And before Caffeine shut it down, they were getting paid for this. So hopefully it works out. The dungeon run is very, very, very good. And if they ever hear me talking about it, know that y'all do an amazing job. And I can't wait to see y'all get y'all back on y'all's feet. And hopefully you find some way to monetary keep the show going, because it's so, so worth it. On that note, I guess, Charlie, what is it about this cereal?
Who doesn't enjoy cereal? but no, it was... Okay, so a little bit of preface is... Prior to 2020, the only podcasts I probably had any interest in were Awesome Cast and My Brother and Me.
Because I think
maybe I got into My Brother and Me in like 2019. But this year, even more so than usual, I would be in the office by myself and started... Not necessarily running out, but feeling like I was listening to a lot of My Brother and Me. So I started branching out to other podcasts. So it's been a big year for a bunch of different podcasts for me. So it was very, very hard to pick one. So in the end, I felt like my reason for picking this one is it is the only one that I started in this last year that made me go out and change a behavior in some way that actually like affected me in the physical world, because the empty bowl got me to care about cereal again.
Wow.
For anyone who's, I mean, I'd say most people are probably aware of it, but it is hosted by Justin McElroy, and who I'm sure everybody knows. And, I think it's Dan Gubert, who runs the Serialously.net serial blog, and it is a meditative serial podcast. So it is very quiet, very calming. I don't know if they ever refer to it as NPR voice, but they are both using their best NPR voices. I believe there's usually like the sound of waves in the background. And It is, they just discuss, there's usually, they spend part of the podcast talking about upcoming serials, and then they spend part of it reviewing serials that they've probably talked about on a previous podcast and have finally got a chance to try. And I haven't been much of a serial eater in recent years, but as a result of their podcast, I've bought like half a dozen boxes of Quaker Golden Maple Oatmeal Squares. I've actually like gone in when I've actually been in a store to do shopping, I usually avoid the cereal aisle, but I've actually been going down the cereal aisle just to see like, oh, what's next? Do they have something that I've heard those guys talk about, like the Little Demi oatmeal cream pie cereal, or the totally no longer topical Elf the Movie cereal that came out this last Christmas. So it's also I think it's been a very good podcast for 2020 because it is so quiet and calming. 2020 being the year that it is, having like a calming podcast about something that isn't necessarily very important it's been very nice.
Excellent. So Dylan, what you got?
Kind of in the same vein, I picked something that I needed in 2020, which is the Ask Science Mike podcast, which is becoming the Cozy Robot Show on YouTube. So his brand is a layman's reading of science news combined with emotional awareness. And I'd listened to the podcast for a while, but when COVID hit here in about, I think around mid-March, he put out a series of episodes on it and got, like, he covered the nuance really well and went really in-depth. Like, he talked about, you know, the mortality rate's low, but the real danger is overwhelming healthcare capacity, and if we do that, then mortality goes up. So he's like, I'm going to be careful because I don't, you know, I've got a, you know, heart disease. I don't want to take someone else's hospital bed. He went through the Imperial College report. Like, okay, we need short lockdowns that are tied to ICU capacity. He talked about things like how we all like focus our attention on anti-maskers, but contact tracing was showing that, yeah, there's younger people who might be more progressive who aren't anti-maskers, but are, you know, going house to house and creating these really big bubbles. And so you got into kind of like really understanding the depth of the problem, to the point that it was kind of funny. A few weeks ago, I was talking to someone I work with, and he was saying, like, you know, it's a good thing that this pandemic didn't turn out as bad as we thought it was going to be. And I was taken back because I was like, no, it's exactly as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And then realized, that's because I actually, partly because I listened to Ask Science Mike and walk through kind of the details of it. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I was just chiming in to agree with you that, yeah, for one thing, I feel personally called out by that because I've still have been seeing Basil and my little sister, so I feel like I am a literal person who has been masking, but I kind of have a big house to house bubble.
And you're not that, like, I know a lot of people who've done that to some extents more than others, and I think there are probably people who are doing that a lot more than just two other places, right?
But it is just as bad as I thought it was going to be, like.
Yeah.
Like, I think they don't understand how bad it really is just because they can't see it, but that's kind of been the problem that this thing has had just in general, is people can't see it, so they don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's what I really picked up of, like, oh, most people who get it are going to be fine. Well, yeah, we knew that back in March. We knew that the bigger issue was, like, in mass, in quantity, this overwhelms, you know, infrastructure, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, like, having someone walk through that in a series of episodes, having someone talk about that, having someone talk about hey, let's talk about how people are feeling about this and what this is making us feel, was like a really good introduction to the topic.
Mm-hmm.
And the show itself has gone through a couple transitions going to YouTube. He's not leaning as heavily into kind of like a lot of his niche early on was like, he came out of evangelicalism and what did that journey look like? He's now focusing on more like being a science educator. And the show is not just people writing crazy questions. It's topical with guests. But he's kind of really developed this idea of like empathetic skepticism of like, we have to understand these things, but we also have to understand how people are feeling about them. There's kind of Mr. Rogers quality to it, which is good because I think that's something we need.
We definitely need it. Yes.
It can be a little weird. Like it may turn you off. Because I think intentionally patterning yourself after Mr. Rogers and a layman's approach to this stuff is kind of risky. Like it feels like you could get into, like you could overreach or get into kind of things that are debunked or woo or something like that. But it seems pretty solid. And he makes a point of like, you need to fact check me just because I want you to fact check other people. So that's my pick.
Well, I like yours. What's it called again? One more time.
Well, it's now The Cozy Robot Show.
Okay, I'm going to watch that one.
But before you do that, you need to lay down us some facts.
Okay.
No. Doug does.
Oh.
We have wrapped around to our second round.
Did I decide to go with true facts over legal eagle?
That is what you've done.
Oh no, why? Why did I do that? I like Legal Eagle so much. But True Facts is also amazing and brilliant. And I think probably segues off of Dylan's just a little bit better. So this is a guy, a YouTube guy, who is making naturalist videos. And I thought he was that one comedian that you and I really like, that John Hodgman? Yes, that's it. I thought it was John Hodgman's at first. He has that same kind of canter to his voice, but he's talking about random little animals throughout the world and giving biology facts in a very proper, nice-sounding voice, and I like it a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know of anything really more to say about it. You kind of just have to see it. It's very funny. It's very amusing. It's also brightly colored animals. And that makes me feel safe and secure. And that's what getting through 2020 was all about. And so it was kind of like a way to exercise my biology brain as I was watching him give all these very proper critiques of animals. And it's just very nice and soothing, and I like it, and other people should watch it.
Yeah. Nice. Kevin,
I have been, like, bookmarking all this YouTube stuff people's been talking about, so I can go back and check it out later.
Well, Kevin, what have you been checking out?
Okay, well, my second one, my other one, because whereas Doug seems to like comfort, I seem to like to be confronted by my doom, but then have a funny overlay to it.
No, all my things, if you listen to them, like my three things that I wanted to do was mythology and history, animals and biology, and then both my parents are lawyers, so listening to some lawyer tell me what's actually legal and what's not actually legal from movies was really, really soothing.
I like Legal Eagle also, by the way, but but I was going to talk about my second one is Philosophy Tube. The guy who does this, Oliver Thorne, is also a stage actor outside of YouTube. And it's weird. You look at his very early videos are these very dry, like, educational philosophy videos. Like, this is this kind of philosophy or this aspect of philosophy. And I talk about it for, like, 30 minutes. And that's fine. And they're interesting in their own way. But, you know, a few years back, he suddenly remembered, hey, I'm an actor. I could get theatrical with this stuff, and maybe he just had more money to play with. And now he started doing like sets and costumes and lighting effects, and it's he's gotten way more theatrical in his presentations in recent years.
I feel like I watched an episode that you posted on Twitter about conspiracy theories.
I think I shared, I don't remember if that was that one.
Like, I remember he had like a crystal ball or something set up and was kind of doing...
Well, the one I was going to recommend, and that may have been it because I did share it, was his witchcraft, gender, and Marxism video that he did for Halloween a few years back.
I don't think that was it.
I think it's a really good introduction to his current style. Although I do like his most recent one, Work, or The Five Jobs I Had Before YouTube, just because there's an extended sequence where he is dressed up as a literal vampire trying to convince somebody that he should let his company build businesses in their country. Well, being a very obvious literal vampire.
Well,
I'm not saying it's subtle. I'm just saying it's entertaining.
Well, speaking of probably something that's not subtle at all, but also confronting one's doom, John.
yeah, definitely in 2020, needed to confront your doom on a lot of fronts, but you also needed to sort of manage how much doom intake you had just for your own mental health.
Yes, definitely.
And with a lot of the doom coming from the politics front and it being an election year and everything, you know, so on and so forth, I leaned heavily on the 538 Politics podcast, mainly because it tries to tackle political events through a data-driven perspective, usually looking at polls and seeing what sort of trends are being affected by different events. It's difficult to sort of articulate it because, like, I'm not particularly strong at, you know, keeping up with all the different political news. But I leaned on that pretty heavily just to keep myself abreast of what was happening and trying to keep some level of perspective. So I wasn't completely left in dismay at all the general fuckery that happened in our country this year.
I think that sort of thing is really important because, you know, you can go on social media and talk about what we should do, but I think having both either the data-driven approach or things that are kind of dive into like the policy details is really important because that, like, that's how you accomplish these things. Although, yeah, I've backed off on some of that because it just feels like complete doom to listen to every week.
Well, but I still need to know, after listening to all this podcast, now do you like League?
No.
Well, something I very much liked and was not expecting this year, or last year, still feels like this year, was Neil Cicierega's Mouth Dreams. And man, speaking of cons and not being able to go to cons, something that I have also really, really missed is taking Kevin home from when we got to hang out again and forcing him joyfully to listen to his latest mashup album. And I didn't get to do it this year. So Neil, he has done many, many things. For example, my wife knows him as the guy that did Harry Potter Puppet Pals. He has made a bunch of these really crazy mashup albums that refers to Mouth as in Smash Mouth, aka All-Star, where he will just do just the most insane mashups of things. And it really, really hits like the same pleasure center in my brain that like a really good Pain Train or Animate Hell or Panel of Doom does, where you will experience things that you should not be. Like, for example, putting Queen's We Will Rock You merged with the SpongeBob SquarePants theme. And he takes it both directions. First, you hear We Will Rock You of SpongeBob SquarePants. And then he plays the actual SquarePants theme with the Queen lyrics. And it works. Or, for example, the song Ribs, which takes the Chili's Baby Back Ribs jingle, along with Tears for Fears, Everyone's to Rule the World, and puts it with Marilyn Manson's The Beautiful People. And let me tell you, you've not lived until you've heard Ewoks sound like they're in Limp Bizkit. Or things like taking like the song War, mixing up with Spice Girls, along with clips of Wario laughing and going, wah! That eventually then leads right into Wario laughing to hearing the folks from Gorillaz laughing, and then you realize he's taken Gorillaz and merged it with Danny Elfman's, one of his songs from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Wow.
Like, this is good stuff, and it is insane stuff, and it's free. Everyone should listen to it. Oh my goodness.
Additionally, if you're looking for more mashups after that, bootymashup.com, BOOTIE mashup. Staple of These Are Video Game Streams. Lots of other insane things take place there as well.
Well, hope you enjoyed me being animated. So, Charlie, you have something about something that says it's animated.
Yes. This was another tough one because I've watched a lot of different YouTube stuff this year. So, I decided to pick something that I just felt was done very well, like regardless of your interest in it, and that's the animated Spellbook on YouTube. The animator is Z Bashu. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And the animated Spellbook, he just does, it's, the videos are no more than usually a couple of minutes long, and each one focuses on a different spell from Dungeons and Dragons, what it does, what's good about it, ways it might be broken or might be best utilized, or things that aren't good about it. The dude's been on YouTube for, I think, a couple of years, and there's a good chance most anybody that would listen to this is somewhat aware of him, because his videos routinely have, like, close to or over 1 million views. He's got a couple other series, but nothing with as many episodes as Animated Spellbook. And it's just, the animation is done very well, I think. And I find his voice just really nice to listen to. Because pretty much, usually, almost all the vocals, it's just him explaining the spell. And it's just been one that I have really enjoyed.
Excellent.
Well, I like it. I like the sound of that.
What's been your favorite spell that he's animated?
That's a tough one. I remembered really liking the one for Shillelagh, I think. But they're all pretty fun. Like, I mean, and it's not that I'm necessarily going to use any of the info. I just really enjoy, like, his animation style, his voice, him talking about this, even though it's, I don't have a lot of experience with the 5th edition of Dungeons and Dragons. Don't know when I'll play Dungeons and Dragons again, but I think
you can do it online.
Yeah, but I think even if you just have like a passing interest in Dungeons and Dragons, like, it's worth spending a few minutes just to check out his stuff.
I've only watched a few of these. I remember he did one on Goodberry where he talked about, so Goodberry is a spell where if you have a berry as a material component, you can create food for people.
Yes, that's another really good episode, because I believe that one, he also goes into, like, how that spell can ruin a
survival-themed?
Yeah, a survival-themed campaign.
Yeah, and I think the tweak was basically just have the spell consume the material component, and
yes,
it changes the feel.
Yeah, you remember this really well.
Well, yeah, that was a really good one. It wasn't about how you can kind of game the system with this or how you can create an effect with this. It was about how you can tweak something and create an entirely different genre from this game.
Yes.
That admittedly doesn't do survival super well.
And
or isn't built for it.
And if you like those, he's got it's only got like 4 videos, but he's got a series called The Cold Road, and it's a D&D campaign diary that's just sort of telling the story of these characters. And that's pretty fun, too. But, yeah, like I said, his work is nice, and it's well done. And he does all of it, I'm pretty sure, himself. So it's not like he doesn't drop a whole lot of videos. I'm thinking he does, like, maybe it's one a month or something like that. So there's not, like... It wouldn't take you a ton of time to catch up on the backlog and stay current with him.
All right, Dylan, bring us home.
All right, I'm going to get a little creative with the category and massage it into internet, not just like podcast or YouTube.
I chose an album.
Okay. I will not not make a big deal out of getting creative. So I'm just going to put down Discord. And Discord, I think, for me, was especially good in 2020 because I know we've constantly, like, we always joke about Twitter and Facebook kind of being these hell sites. But 2020 really upped that because I got hyper aware of who I knew was, you know, skeptical about the seriousness of the pandemic or touchy about people protesting racial injustice. Or people who are just willing to dabble in stuff like that. And that made it easy to get focused on, like, okay, if I'm on Twitter, do I need to be sharing more stuff to kind of put some pressure on those people? Do I need to be very careful because any tweet could spark, like, a flame war? And getting into something like Discord felt really nice because... It's a decentralized environment. It's closed. You know, you go into a server, you know what people talk about on the server. You know where the boundaries are. You know, if you want to talk about something that, you know, like politics or something, there's a channel for it. It just felt really nice compared to being out on Twitter. Now, it's still centralized in the sense that it's owned by a single company and all, but it creates more kind of private environments, kind of like old school IRC channels. And I think that was really good since Twitter and Discord are basically my socialization now. And the other thing, like, it gave me a good chance to, like, dabble in building a bot as a distraction. So that was pretty cool.
Yes, I agree with you. I feel that Discord is, I've been very grateful for its existence. I feel like normies don't know about it yet, and I don't necessarily know if that's good or bad, but I do feel like there are a lot of different chat programs and a lot of different voice programs, and I just feel like Discord is the best one.
I think even if, like, you can, the nice thing is you can create different servers and different channels, so even if you're worried about, like, the normies finding it, it's a matter of kind of cultivating.
Well, even if the normies found it, they still wouldn't be on the channels that I'm on.
Right. Yeah. Like,
so that's why I'm not sure if it's a good thing or a bad thing that the normies don't know about it yet, because it is a better product than, like, what are they all using? Zoom?
Yeah. We use Google Meet occasionally, and it's a little trickier because you have to set up chats, whereas this is like you've just got a running chat log and you can jump in and out of video calls. But you do have to kind of get a feel for it. And like you said, get a feel for, like, where the normies are. Like, if you go to the MomoCon server, mm-hmm. There's so much going on. They're running so many different events. It's kind of a flood of things. And you have to figure out, okay, I'm going to mute these channels because I just never want to see them.
And then have Basil, who makes like 80 gajillion channels in the one server.
I like that approach. It keeps things nice and organized, so I can't say anything. But then you get smaller channels, like Third Impact runs one. We've got one that we're kind of using for private stuff. We've got a couple, actually, if you want to get technical. There's a local one I'm in, and it's just, there's interaction that you wouldn't get in, like, on Twitter. Just where there's no context. It's whoever happens to be looking at it. There's one for the free company, which has been kind of neat.
So, as it might have been alluded to, the existence of planning for awesome cats and things. We now use Discord, but we have it set up so that if we want to go public with it, we can. So it sounds like we're unleashing it into the world to see if it lives or dies. It'll live. I mean, it's just us. It's fine.
If over a decade of content creation has taught me anything, no one cares.
No one cares. It's fine. No one's going to hear it anyway.
That hurts. That hurts so bad. Because I've been through that so many times where, like, I'm going to flick the switch. This is it. Got to make sure I'm ready. I only get one shot at this. And
if nothing else, we'll get Austin and Tobias with Third Impact, and they'll discover how much John loves Ava, and they really should talk to each other on a podcast about Ava.
That is true.
Yeah, I wish there was something big happening with Ava coming up, you know, that we could talk about, like a movie or something. That'd be crazy.
It's weird. True, because I'm still actually really behind on the movies. So when the new movie comes out, I won't really be able to weigh in yet because I still don't want to get spoiled. So if someone could have John on their Ava podcast about the new movie, that would be great. Austin and Tobias.
I mean,
of course, who knows when we'll actually see it even after it comes out.
Lord knows, Anna's still waiting to figure out how to watch that Sailor Moon movie.
Are our podcasts just turning into a way to, like, subtweet other people to let us on their podcasts?
Yes.
We call that subcasting.
Subcasting.
We're a very meta podcast, you realize.
I'm pretty sure, like, that's all our podcasts have ever been. It's just like subcasting everybody else.
That's what we are. We're the podcast that people who podcast listen to, but nobody else.
We'll never be rich or famous, but people who do get rich and famous will be like, yeah, one of my huge influences was the Awesome Cast.
Yeah. Yeah, that's us.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
And I would love to being the songwriter's songwriter. That's a good place to be, man.
So
still die penniless in a fucking moldy hipsters. Basement, but...
So if you want to be at the place to be, it's awesomecast.com, where you can find us and all the podcasts that we do under that needle website. Also, I guess with a fresh Discord link when I get this episode up, that would be cool.
Yeah.
The podcast is edited by the most wonderful of editors, Anna, who I love very, very, very much, who is side-eyeing me right now.
Because she's so mad because this has been just an absolute mess. Like, this is going to be, like, you're going to hear, like, if anybody has listened to my stream and then you go and listen to the podcast, you will understand just how much work Anna does. That we basically just sit here and bullshit each other for hours. And then she goes and cleans it up and turns it into something.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing when I'm completely deleted from the podcast. It's like they just had me on to preserve the friendship because they're just, like, too fucking afraid to just cut the cord and just, you know, let me drift out to sea. But, you know, they can't let this shit out into public. Come on.
The theme song is done by DJ Inhibito. You can find him at djinhibito.com.
He clips like a motherfucker.
That's right. And don't worry, we've got two more episodes of this.
Oh, God.
We've just got to record. So until then, we'll see you next time.
Cool that we're starting 2021
we're all just part of Basil's posse. And
I mean, fuck Basil. Fuck that guy.
We're turning the podcast into a circular firing squad. Cool. This is very normal. Love to be on a very normal podcast.
This is the roast. This is the roast of Basil.
Rise up, podcaster proletariat! Throw down your masters.